that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits. So often we run into a problem. We don't run into this problem, but the average person, especially a lot of our listeners, kind of have an issue where there's tons of information out there. And the big issue is, how do you sift through that as somebody who's not in the fitness world, who doesn't have access to, we all have access to tons of information.
How do
you
really have access to experience?
Yeah, or access to a specific experience and specific information, like what's the right direction to take? So in our interview today, we kind of go through that with somebody who actually did that himself. So he was not a fitness pro, not somebody who went through a certification program and learned all the right stuff, but actually had to navigate this kind of asteroid field of fitness information.
In fact,
and
struggled for much of his life getting the results that he wanted.
Yeah, but endured and actually was able to develop a program that works for him. So it's a really cool interview with Jay Kim. And yeah, without further ado, we're going to go right into it. So hope you guys enjoy. Again, it really gives a good insight into somebody who didn't have success right off the bat and how he's able to kind of work his way through and develop something that worked. So without further ado, it's our interview with Jay Kim.
Hey everyone, we are here with Jay Kim, and he is the founder of HackYour.Fitness, which is his whole fitness plan. How's it going, Jay? How's everything?
Hey guys, I'm really happy to be on the podcast. Thanks for having me. Everything's great.
Awesome. Yeah, great. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Amazing.
So the first thing we normally ask is, could you tell us about your background? Were you engaged in different health and fitness athletic stuff growing up, or did you get into it more recently?
Right. So, I think my background is very similar to perhaps many of your listeners. And I know for sure a lot of my social circle and professional circle, my journey was very similar to maybe some of the struggles that they had. And I've kind of always been a fitness guy, but never a professional fitness guy. So I've always been really an office guy, desk jockey, I like to call myself. Normal guy. I worked on Wall Street for a while, and now I live in Hong Kong. I'm still in finance, working long hours. And for me, really, my fitness journey started right sort of at the very beginning of my career. And it was just something that I sort of did because everyone, did it. It was like, oh, let's go to work, let's go to the gym. So it was one of those things. And I struggled for a long time with my journey. And really, it wasn't until I sort of took a step back and looked at why I was into fitness that I realized sort of my flaws and what was preventing me from reaching my goal. So to answer your question, I've always been a fitness enthusiast. I wouldn't say I'm a diehard fitness guy, but really what I am is just a regular guy, not a fitness professional. I don't have any certifications or any degrees, but I really wanted to sort of crack this fitness puzzle that was sort of in my way my entire life. All the time and effort I'd put in the gym, I'd never actually been able to achieve the body that I wanted. And so it was a big sort of challenge for me for many, many years. And so when I finally sort of figured out what I was doing wrong and the exact steps that I needed to take to reach my goal, it was sort of very mind-blowing for me. And the simplicity of it actually made me want to share it with others, because I would look around at my peers, other people that sort of were in my professional circles, and I saw them struggling with the same things that I was struggling, year after year. So that was really what sort of led me to launching the site, Hack Your Fitness. I basically put together a solution that is geared very high towards sort of high achievers, guys that are entrepreneurs, that are very busy, that don't have a lot of time to go to the gym, and that just want to get fit and look good. And so that's where Hack Your Fitness came from. And, I've been writing for a while. I have a book coming out in the early next year. And so it's been a wild ride.
So what were some of the flaws or struggles or obstacles that you found like yourself facing that you also found other people were facing?
Right. So I think for me, the sort of one of the biggest turning points was when I took a step back and I really focused on why I was really interested in fitness, period. And, you know, like I said, at the very beginning of my journey, I was working long hours. I had a bunch of colleagues that all went to the gym. You know, it was very customary for all of us to have our little gym bag next to our desk. And after work, we'd be like, okay, going to hit the gym. And I kind of just did it because everyone else was doing it. It was like an acceptable thing to do. And then after the gym, we'd all meet up for happy hour and start drinking. So it was more of paying penance for maybe going out or having a bad meal, or maybe paying it forward for the big night ahead, that sort of thing. And I didn't really know why I was doing it. It was more of just peer pressure. And I thought, oh, I was living in New York City, and this is what young professionals are doing these days. And then, you know, I struggled because it was just a task for me to do. It was just something that I had to do, and I never really understood why I was doing it. You know, was I just trying to fit in, or what do I really want to get healthy? Because the rest of my life, I was not living according to that standard. You know, I would just do the bare bones minimum, 45 minutes, 3 or 4 times a week, and then I would go out drinking and eating a bunch of garbage. And I was not practicing what I was preaching, so to speak. And then I really took a step back and I was like, why am I doing all of this? Why am I doing all of this? And it took several years for me to actually come to this point, this realization point. But when I was finally honest with myself, I realized the reason that I was doing all these things in the gym and reading these men's health magazines and trying all these different programs was for a very simple reason. And that reason was vanity. And I just wanted to look good. I wanted to look like a men's health cover model. Yeah. And yeah, I wasn't being honest with myself. And I think when people actually, you know, look, every person has a different reason why they are into fitness, you know, and I'm the first to raise my hand and admit that for me, being healthy, quote unquote healthy, was secondary. For me, I just wanted to look fit. And so I know it sounds kind of shallow to be saying this, but you know, I'm an honest guy, and I think when people can come to that realization and that level of honesty and say, okay, why am I actually doing this? Because I want to look good. Yeah. Then that's okay. And only when they define their goal, their end goal, is when they'll start, you know, to make some serious progress. So, you know, again, it's different for everyone. I'm not, you know, every person is different, and some people may really, you know, want to be healthy, or maybe they're training for some sort of competition. For me personally, it was something as shallow as vanity that pushed me to figuring out how to hack my fitness.
So that's a great point. Actually segues into my next question. So, you know, often in life we can kind of trace an important change or an important decision back to like a single incident or a comment. And you have an interesting anecdote about a comment that your wife made that I guess sparked a major change in you. Can you share that with our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. And I love my wife to death, and she is the most honest person, and she pushes me to my limits. But it's the brutal honesty that she always gives me that actually pushed me to making this change. And so basically, the story is, you know, I'd spent many years, probably 6 or so years, spinning my wheels on this fitness yo-yo, so to speak. And I was, you know, like I said, I was going out a lot. I was just doing the bare bones minimum in the gym. I didn't know why I was working out, cherry picking workouts from Men's Health, not really knowing anything about diet and nutrition. And then after I met my wife, this thing continued, and she knew that I was really into fitness. And I really wanted to achieve this body. And it was several years into this wheel spinning when one day I was getting ready for work, and I was walking into the shower to get changed and take a shower and get ready for work. And she basically made a very passing comment. It was very innocent in her mind. And she basically said, you know, for someone that works out all the time, you don't actually look that ripped. And I remember it just being like this huge gut punch to me because, so a little bit of background. My wife is what I call a genetic freak. She's naturally lean and she can eat whatever she wants and she barely exercises and she looks great all the time. And so obviously I have a chip on my shoulder because I'm sort of the opposite. And so this comment that she threw at me, it really hit me where it hurt. And I remember I was fuming in the shower and the rest of the day was obviously ruined because I just kept thinking, oh, you don't understand. You know, it's not fair. I was, you know, I was dealt a bad hand, you know, you just don't get it, right? But it was that very comment that made me realize, you know what, she's absolutely right. And that's why it really hurts so much. It's because I was spinning my wheels. I was working out 6 days a week, you know, sometimes doing 2-a-days cardio. You know, I tried every DVD, exercise, CrossFit, you know, social workout, everything under the sun, and nothing was working for me. And it was really frustrating. And I thought that was it. That was my destiny. The rest of my life, I was just going to struggle and I would never get lean. I would never lean down to single digit body fat. And it was just because I was dealt a bad hand and I just had to live with it. And I had to work harder than everyone else. So I had this immense chip on my shoulder. But it also made me realize, that comment made me realize something's not right. You know, for the amount of effort I'm putting in, to sort of fitness and health and nutrition, I'm certainly not getting the results that I should be. And so her very innocent comment called me out and made me really, really take a step back and take a very close look at what I was doing. And it made me basically figure out, you know, what I was doing wrong. And it helped me figure out my solution.
All right. Well, I guess the next, the most natural question is, tell us about this fitness hack. What is a fitness hacker? And, you know, tell us about this solution.
Yep, definitely. So, you know, just to be clear, this is not like a biohack type thing. Okay. You know, it's not like a Tim Ferriss type experiment. I mean, this is, I say hack your fitness because, and I called it this because, it's because of that exact backstory that I was telling you. You know, I'd spent years and years just trying everything under the sun and never really getting the results that I wanted. And to me, you know, especially these days with the flood of content and information, a lot of which isn't science-backed, that you find on the internet and on media and social media these days, it's very easy to get lost in that sea of content. And you don't know what's true, what's not. You can find a study that claims a particular outcome on lab rats for just about any argument you want to make. And it's scary, right? And it that's what caused me for many, many years to spin my wheels. And so when I say hack, I basically mean the truth. You know, I want to cut out all the noise from fitness and really just give, you know, science, the very simple science behind body recomposition. And so for me, it's very simple, you know, and it came down to a few key points. Okay. And so for me, and I think for a lot of people that aren't as educated as fitness, you know, you guys are in the fitness industry, so you guys are probably well aware of a lot of the stuff in Hack Your Fitness. But for me, it was basically, it came down to a few things. Okay, like I just said, the honesty part is sort of introspective. You have to know why you're doing it. And once you realize your goal, then you have to educate yourself, basically. You have to go in and really just learn the simple science behind fitness and nutrition. And it's not that difficult. Which is what baffled me for a long time. And I, you know, working in sort of finance and being around a lot of people that are quote unquote very smart individuals, they still had the same problems that I did. They didn't know exactly how to get fit. And you know, these people are some of the smartest people in the world. They can make millions and millions of dollars trading the markets or whatever, but they couldn't figure out simple science. And so that was my goal, is to basically break it down into as simple science as possible. And so the biggest thing for me was you know, the industry kind of forces you into jumping straight into tactics. Like, what workout should I do to get ripped? You know, what ab circuit should I do to get that six pack? And, you know, it took me a while to realize that 80, 85% of it is actually nutrition, the diet and nutrition side. And so that was the first sort of pillar that I had to educate myself on is diet and nutrition. And, you know, within that subset, it was basically the, and this goes in order of importance, is basically energy balance, so calories in, calories out, macronutrient balance, so what the different macronutrients, protein, carbon, fat, and what ratio you should be eating those at. And then finally, the quality of food choice. And so, you know, when I tell people that these are in order of significance on how it affects your fitness, a lot of people are shocked, and I was misinformed as well. I thought that, oh, as long as I had it flipped, I was basically eating clean but eating way too much food. So I was wondering, why am I gaining weight? I'm eating so clean, quote unquote healthy. I'm eating all these superfoods, but I really wasn't abiding by the most important rule, which is energy balance, which is calories in, calories out. So, so basically, the, you know, on the nutrition side is those three pillars that, you know, I had to learn. And then on the fitness side, I sort of scrapped all the men's health magazines, you know, all that sort of stuff. And on the exercise workout side, and I basically went back to the old school compound lifts, you know, and I read Mark Ripito's book, Starting Strength, and I just basically started falling in love with compound lifts because I realized that they were much better for your body from a time efficiency standpoint. So I could get a heavy compound lift in and only spend 45 minutes in the gym, and the effect on my body afterwards would be much greater than doing, say, 2 hours of steady state cardio. So these are sort of the pieces that I put together. And again, you know, I use a phrase called syntax error, where it's basically you have all the right numbers, but you're dialing them in the wrong combination. So you're not getting the results that you wanted. You know, it's very easy to pick up all the right numbers these days from the internet, because the internet has so much information for free, and you can piece together, you know, what clean eating is, what calories in and calories out, what that means, how to lift, you know, heavy, all this stuff. But a lot of times people aren't dialing them in the right sequence. And so as a result, they're not getting the results that they wanted.
So as you mentioned, there is a lot of there's a lot of misinformation out there, and there's a lot to navigate through, especially for somebody who isn't inside the fitness industry. So what were you able to do to kind of sift through a lot of the noise to get towards something that actually worked for you?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was a long journey, to be honest. You know, I spent many years just pouring into research, reading you know, a lot of stuff online, which was actually junk, and I read a lot of stuff that was very good, a lot of science-backed articles and books. So it really came down to being able to filter between the noise, between what was just, you know, advertising backed, not science-backed, and being able to realize, you know, who was telling you the truth, who was actually preaching the gospel, science-backed information. And so it took a lot of experimentation, and it took a lot of, you know, wheel spinning. And I tried a lot of different workouts, and I tried a lot of diet plans, and I tried basically everything under the sun. And I was basically able to piece together the most effective, simplest solution that's long-term sustainable, okay? So the key is, for me, it was long-term sustainable. So I had gone, during this whole wheel spinning time, I had gone on several sort of, you know, mini journeys where I would actually cut down to single-digit body fat, but it would take an enormous amount of effort and energy. So I would be basically gearing up for, say, a summer beach vacation, and I would go on the six-week insane slimming, you know, cut, where I would basically work out twice a day, every day. I would eat super clean, and I would starve myself almost just to get really lean for that beach vacation. And then what would happen is, I would get to the beach, and the first 24 hours, I would look great, and then I would just start binging. And by the end of the trip, I would have already rebounded and lost all the efforts that had gotten me to where I was at the very beginning. So 6 weeks gone, you know, overnight. And it was really frustrating because, again, I thought this was it, right? So I was, you know, so I was able to get there, but it wasn't the right way. It wasn't the most effective, efficient way. And so basically what I've done with at Hack Your Fitness is I've taken, cherry-picked all the most efficient methods in diet and nutrition that will take actually the least amount of time as possible. So my workout, the workouts that I prescribe is basically three times a week, 45 minutes to an hour max. You know, it's compound lifts. And, you know, it's enough to sort of get you going and keep you lean, you know. And if you're eating properly, you know, it's very long-term sustainable. You're able to maintain the fitness that you've had for your entire life. And I think that's the key. It's something that's sustainable. It's not like a diet where you go on and you come off. And for me, that was the biggest, it's the biggest selling point.
So you, and all of this can be found, you have a book. So is your book out now or is it coming out?
So the book is coming out in Q1 next year. But most of it can be found on my website. I have like a little 13-page guide, and that's literally the compressed. That's like the minimum viable product. It's literally everything you need to get started right away. And you can download it for free off of hackyour.fitness. And it literally just runs you through the very, very simple science. It starts with a little bit of sort of your psychology, and then it runs through how to count your calories, how to track your macros. It goes over intermittent fasting if that's something that you want to explore. You know, it's not for everyone, but I found it a very effective tool for maintaining a long-term caloric restriction. So I use it, and I go through the basic lifts, you know, and that's pretty much it. You know, fitness isn't something that I should be chained to. Like I was for many, many years, I felt like I had to go to the gym, and I hated that feeling for so long that I wasn't in control of the situation. It was just I had to do it. But now I finally feel like I'm in control of the situation. You know, I know exactly what I need to do to get lean, and with that comes so much freedom. There comes so much freedom with meal planning. You know, if I have social situations, I'm able to plan around that and still get my lifts in and still maintain the level of fitness that I want.
Now, will the book be in print form or ebook form? The one that comes out in 2017.
Yeah, it'll be in print. It'll be paperback, and there'll be an ebook for sure.
Okay.
And probably a audiobook as well.
How was the process of writing?
Oh man, you've written some books in the past as well, so yeah. I'm sure you're fully aware.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's at the very beginning, it seems like this insurmountable mountain where you're just like, it's never going to get done.
Yeah.
And you're going through the process. And we're in the final edits right now.
Okay,
so it's almost done, but
yeah.
It's still, I'm like, oh man, there's just so much left to do, right?
It's a
process. You're fully aware of it. Yeah.
And no matter how easy you think it is, like I thought, especially the first, well, actually no, both the ones I did, it's like, it's mostly things that I know. So it's a little bit of research, but it's exercises. So it shouldn't be that hard. But yeah, there's just, for me, actually, it was like, initially I didn't see the insurmountable mountain. It wasn't until I got closer to like it, the process that that the mountain started to like grow as I was doing it. And even that like final editing portion is just so tedious, but yeah, it's good to hear that you're almost done. It's I always ask people like what their experience is like, cause it's such a unique experience, especially if you haven't done it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to, it finally hitting the shells because it must be such a great feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. It isn't. That definitely was a nice feeling. It was like nice accomplishment. Like seeing, you know, going to like Barnes and Noble, that was cool. Like I had took a picture in there. So that was a nice feeling, but it was a lot of work to get it done, as I'm sure you're feeling.
Yeah,
right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you mentioned in your research that you're trying to dispel myths regarding the way men and women work out. What have you observed in this area, and what are some of the myths, misconceptions, that sort of stuff?
Great question. So this is a question I get a lot, actually, from a lot of sort of potential clients, and they see maybe a lot of the wives of some of the former coaching clients that have gone through the program ask me about this. And it's funny because the short answer to that question is basically not a whole lot is different between men and women. You know, I've coached a lot of women as well now, and basically they go through the exact same process as men. Now, there's a few caveats, obviously. You know, I don't coach pregnant women because I don't think that this program is right for them. And you know, if you just had a baby and stuff like that, then it's probably not a good idea to be in a calorie restrictive, a prolonged caloric restriction. But for the most part, you know, everything else is the same. And a lot of women are daunted by the compound lifts part. You know, a lot of women are pretty good with the nutrition part because they're already eating clean, and then it's just a matter of measuring how much they're eating, the calories in, calories out, and cutting that down. So that's easier. For women, a lot of times the more daunting part is the compound lifts, because you know they don't want to go to the gym, and there's, you know, the squat racks are always the most daunting of all. Even myself, when I go into a public gym, which I actually have a rack at home now, so I don't go to gyms anymore. But when I go to public gyms, I'm scared to go to the squat rack area because you see like the biggest guys in the gym working out there and huffing and puffing. And so, but this is just something that you have to explain to them that, you know, compound lifts are good for men and for women. And I think a lot of the myths that are being proliferated come from sort of the internet and social media, where they say, oh, women should tone, and they should do a lot of accessory work because they want to lean out and they don't want to get bulky. And the fact of the matter is, you know, for the most part, men and women's bodies will react the same way when you introduce compound lifts to that. When you start building lean muscle, then your body is going to start looking better. And when you start cutting down the level of body fat that you have and that you're carrying, you're going to look leaner and you're going to look better. And there's almost zero chance that you're going to get bulky if, while you are actually building muscle, doing compound lifts, you're cutting your body fat down. So I think that there's a misnomer out there where a lot of women say, I don't want to become bulky and I don't want to look like a bodybuilder. And then I have to remind them and say, do you actually know how long it takes?
Yeah.
Even if you wanted to get bulky, to look like a bodybuilder, like
that takes quite a bit of testosterone as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, you know, men have, you know, I think it's 10 or 16 times as much testosterone as women do. So there's almost zero chance, if you're just a regular person that's not a bodybuilder or something like that, that you will end up getting bulky if you just start introducing some compound lifts. So. And once we're, you know, I start coaching some women, and they realize this, you know, they get really motivated because, you know, they've for a long time lived under this impression and this idea, this paradigm that they have to just do a lot of cardio, and they have to, you know, starve themselves, and they have to do a bunch of light dumbbell curls to tone, you know, and that's not the case. So, it's actually, these are some of the things that kind of drive me to keep, you know, kind of spreading the gospel, because I love just breaking down these barriers and these myths that basically the fitness industry, the marketing monster, has proliferated for so many years.
So now one question I have for you is, the typical way to get, you know, ripped is to either slim down and add the muscle, or add the muscle and then slim down. Mm-hmm. So my question for you is, how are you gaining muscle with restricted calories. So I know you could get stronger. I guess you could put on some lean muscle, but typically you, when you're trying to put on muscle, you up your calories.
Yes.
And then when it's time to burn, now that doesn't mean you can't be lifting during both phases or doing cardio during both phases, but typically that's the way. So how does it work with your system where you're able to do both?
Okay, so you're absolutely right. And science proves that you, in order for you to build muscle, it's very difficult to do so if you're not in a surplus calorically, right? It's, that's just science, right? So yeah. Great question. And the only reason it works basically most of the people that I end up coaching are people that, like me, haven't really dove this deep into fitness and the science behind it. So I would say that the only way that newbie gains, it's basically, that's the only way that true recomposition is possible. So, you know, for someone like me and for someone like for you guys that are very seasoned lifters, then I would say that you're absolutely right. It's not possible. Scientifically, it's not possible to build muscle. It's very, very, very difficult in a caloric deficit.
Especially if you're not taking steroids or something like
that. That's right. So that's the only other way is to take steroids, which I definitely do not advocate.
All right. So you believe that your system is really intended for a lot of new fitness enthusiasts, people that are getting into it and that will see these sort of, as you mentioned, newbie gains while they're doing
it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, my whole thing is I try to educate people on the simple science behind, you know, diet, nutrition, and fitness. Okay. And at the same time, hopefully they get some, they can see some of these newbie gains. And the newbie gains are actually quite important.
For sure.
And substantial. And it helps a lot with their motivation because, you know, I track not only their body fat loss, I also track their lifts and how much strength they're gaining during this process, right? So that's the one subset of sort of the audience that I reach out to. And the other subset are actually people like myself who aren't necessarily fitness people, but they want to just maintain being lean. And in order to just maintain, if you just want to maintain and you don't necessarily want to quote unquote bulk, then I think this is a perfect solution because for me, you know, I have two kids now. I'm old, you know, I'm 37. I'm not like you're a young fitness guy either. And, you know, I work a full-time job and it's, you know, I don't have a lot of time to be in the gym 6 days a week. And so this is a very simple way to maintain my level of fitness and maintain my level of body fat by putting in sort of the minimal amount of time in the gym. And that's what I love about it. You know, I work out 3 times a week, 45 minutes each session. And a lot of attention gets paid on sort of the nutrition side. You know, I eat quite clean and not, you know, I eat within my maintenance calorie level. And mostly clean, but I do, you know, fit in some cheat elements from time to time because, you know, at the end of the day, life is more than just dry chicken breasts and veggies, you know? So I truly believe that. And once you kind of delve into some of the science of macronutrient balance, then that sort of stuff becomes clear to you, you know, that it becomes clear that, look, there is a little bit of leeway, you know, when it comes to what you're eating based on your macronutrient balance, as long as you still abide by the higher law of energy balance.
Cool. So now, you live in Hong Kong, correct?
That's right.
Now, do you plan on moving back to New York, or are you plan on staying out there? Are you unsure?
Well, to be honest, I at this point I don't have any plans to move back. Yeah. I moved out here in 2005, and you know, it was quite interesting because back then the fitness industry in Hong Kong was very, very nascent. There was hardly anything. There was maybe two gyms. There was one supplement store, and now you can barely walk down a city block in Hong Kong without being handed some flyer of CrossFit box, or they even have like SoulCycle type studios here, yoga. They have everything now. So I'm really happy to see the progress that Hong Kong has made in the fitness industry. But yeah, I moved here in 2005, and you know, it was for a job, and I ended up staying. I met a girl, and now my family's here, and yeah, I don't have any plans to move back. You know, it's Hong Kong is a great place. I don't know if you've ever made it over to this side of the world.
I would certainly love to.
Yeah, if you ever do, give me a holler.
Give you a shout for sure.
Yeah, for sure. You guys are welcome to come anytime.
Awesome. Well, Jay, thank you so much. I think this has been a fantastic interview. We will, for sure, put your website, a link, in the notes. Once again, it is hackyour.fitness, and this is Jay Kim, who has come up with this awesome solution for how, you know, sort of everyday people that are busy can find a way to get ripped and to get that body that they've wanted.
Anything else you'd like to share?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. I would say, you know, as sort of an action step, you know, for any of the listeners out there, you know, I think the first thing that I always suggest for potential clients and for just people that are curious or interested is really to just do two things. Is to one, just be honest with yourself and figure out why you want to be fit or why you want to get into this whole fitness game. Because once you realize what your goal is, then that's the only way that you can start making progress. And the second thing is to educate yourself, you know? I mean, educate yourself and be smart about what you read online. There's just a sea of information that is not true out there. So really just educate yourself. And then after you do those two things, then the actual getting fit part is actually the easy part. It's the fun part, you know? I mean, people jump into tactics and workouts and how they can do it and you know, get started right away. But really, I think that the hardest part is the honesty part and then the education. And then everything after that is gravy. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, I really enjoyed being on the show, Ryan and Justin. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, great. And, thank you.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in Hong Kong sometime. Yes. Please
awesome.
Let me know.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, cool. Awesome. Well, great to have you. And definitely let us know when the book is out, and we'll definitely share that on social media and on the podcast.
Awesome. Great. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Jay. Well, that'll conclude our interview. So once again, awesome. Thanks a lot. And
One question. Yeah. We usually post like to Instagram, like when we post the shows. Can we use a picture from your website of you to post with our like with the episode title and everything? Is that okay? Okay,
sure. Awesome. Yep. Absolutely.
Sure, that's cool with you. And then So let's see. This should probably go up. I think the first. We usually post the episodes on Sunday night or Monday. So this should go up. The first Monday in December, but I'll shoot you an email just to kind of confirm, but it should go up in about 2 weeks.
Okay, awesome. Cool. Thanks again, guys.
Awesome.
And let me know if I can do anything to help you guys as well. You know, I mean, with my audience and whatnot, I'll definitely be sharing.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll send you the links and everything. And yeah, if you want to share it with your audience, that'd be awesome. Great.
Fantastic. All right.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Really appreciate
it.
All right. Thanks.
Have
a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Cool interview. Jay seems like a really nice and honest guy, and I do find it interesting how he was able to sort of sift through everything and come up with a solution that worked for him. And it's definitely targeted towards a certain client base, many of newcomers to fitness, as he mentions, but that's okay. I think that's a huge demographic, people that work, you know, desk jobs that are looking for these results and need a practical solution that works for them.
Yeah.
So it's hackyour.fitness, and we will include it in the show notes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we have listeners out there that are in this position that could very much so benefit from this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's it. So as usual, all of our stuff is at thegymwits.com, and that's where you can find all of our social media stuff. Again, if you haven't downloaded the app and you are on iOS or Android, download the Gym Wits app. It's free. It comes with some bonus content for episodes. When we do post some specific stuff for the app, so definitely download that. It gives you the little numbers on the side that tell you when you've missed an episode, so you'll know when you're missing some Gym Wits stuff. So, as usual, I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gym Wits.